Good morning. It is my pleasure to be at East again. I don't know if the bulletin is correct that I'm a frequent guest, but I have been here before. And it is my pleasure to be with you and to share a word this morning. Will you join with me in an attitude of prayer, please? Holy and gracious God, we ask that you would pour your Spirit upon us. Help us to be open with our hearts and our minds to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day, our Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. As the bulletin notes, the liturgy and the hymns in this morning's worship service are from the worship services at the United Church of Christ General Synod that was held 3 weeks ago in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, Jameson tells me that the last hymn, Sia Humba, is not real familiar with this congregation. So he's going to play it all the way through. And we're going to sing both verses, and the first one is in Swahili. So, you know, look, it's you just follow it along. It's a South African song, freedom song, that was sung during, especially during the time of apartheid. And then for this little light of mine, we'll sing the first verse that's in the bulletin in the hymnal, but we're going to sing two more verses. Put it under a bushel, no, and everywhere I go. Okay, so the New Century hymnal kind of messes up this little light of mine, but so we will do that. Now, it's surprising, or it may seem surprising, that my wife Sherry and I heard three very different but very powerful sermons, all based on that short text from Matthew's 5th chapter, those few verses that Stephanie just read. But they all focused on the last verse, the 16th verse. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your great works, or good works. Great works is probably not a bad thing either. And give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, I don't want you to be anxious. I'm not going to re-preach those three powerful sermons this morning. You can see and hear them if you would choose to on the UCC National website under General Synod. But what I do want us to think about this morning is how can we let our light shine before others? The question for us today is, what do we do that brings light into the world? What are your good works? As Matthew 5 says, what are your good works that allows the light of God to shine in our world? I subscribe to two daily devotionals that come to me each morning in my email. One of them is from the United Church of Christ, and it's the United Church of Christ Daily Devotional. And the other, the second, is from Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest who is the founder and director of the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico. In Richard Rohr's Independence Day devotion last week, he had a lengthy quote from Sister Simone Campbell, who some of us know over the last couple years as the nun on the bus as she traveled around our country. And I believe that what Sister Simone shared, or what Richard Rohr shared of what Sister Simone had written, speaks directly to a way that we can be about letting our light shine in today's world, especially in our own country. Sister Simone wrote, "In the last half of the 20th century, thankfully, our society began to engage in a serious process of trying to atone for the sin of slavery. And in doing so, much emphasis was placed on promoting civil rights. An unintended consequence of this important movement was a heightened focus on individuals and individual exercise of the freedoms guaranteed in the Constitution." Excuse me. "The civil rights movement came out of community, but the legal expression focused on individuals' capacity to exercise their freedoms. Some fearful Americans, largely white men who professed a conservative version of Christianity, felt threatened, as if there were not enough rights to go around. They sought to create their own movement. This reaction in part fueled the rise of the Tea Party movement later. But a democracy cannot survive if various groups and individuals only pull away in different directions. Such separation will not guarantee that all are allowed the opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All people must be recognized for their inherent dignity and gifts, regardless of the color of their skins, their religious beliefs, or place of origin. And all these gifts need to be shared in order to build up the whole. And so Sister Simone goes on to say, "So I've begun to wonder if the new task of the first half of the 21st century should be a commitment to civil obligations as a balance to focus on civil rights. Civil obligations call each of us to participate out of a concern and commitment for the whole, for the common good. Civil obligation calls us to vote, to inform ourselves about the issues of the day, to engage in serious conversation about our nation's future, and learn to listen to various perspectives. To live our civil obligations means that everyone needs to be involved, and that there needs to be room for everyone to exercise this involvement. This is the other side of civil rights. We all need civil rights so we can all exercise our civil obligations. The mandate to exercise our civil obligations means that we can't be bystanders who scoff at the process of politics while taking no responsibility. We all need to be involved. Civil obligations means that we must hold our elected officials accountable for their actions, and we must advocate for those who are struggling to exercise their obligations and their civil rights. The 100% needs the efforts of all of us to create a true community." And she concludes, It is an unpatriotic lie that we as a nation are based in individualism. The Constitution underscores the fact that we are rooted and raised in a communal society, and that which we have a responsibility to build upon the whole. She says, "The preamble of the Constitution could not be any clearer. We, the people, are called to form a more perfect union." Close quotes. I would suggest that what Sister Simone is calling and naming our civil obligations is rooted and grounded in our faith and trust in a God that became known to us in Jesus the Christ, in the incarnation, where love became enfleshed. I think it was the last time I was here in your pulpit, I was speaking about being bodybuilders, building up the community, building up the community of faith. Well, we also need to be bodybuilders as we exercise our civil obligations and building up the wider community, the common good, so that everyone can exercise and have their civil rights. And I think that that's one of the ways that we can be about letting the light of God shine in this world. Recognizing that all people have rights and that all people have responsibilities for the common good, for the whole. So working to build up the community, seeking the common good, striving to form a more perfect union is one of the ways that allows the light of God to shine in and through us. May it be so.